Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Do you wish you knew the saints better? Overwhelmed with all the events in Catholic history and just wish you could tie it all together? It's tough work, and even scientists have determined that it takes approximately 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in the brain. Unless it is done with play, in which case it takes between 10 and 20 repetitions. Introducing Saint Cards, where the facts about saints and history are presented in fun and engaging games for ages 4 to 104. Check out Saint Cards at saintcards.com and begin the fun for your family, school, and parish today.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today.
By definition, a storyteller conveys events in words, images, and sounds, often by improvisation or embellishment. The Living Bread Radio Network presents The Storytellers with Tony Agnese. Today, you'll hear a faith-based, inspirational story that's both heartfelt and heartwarming. And now, let's meet today's storyteller with Tony Agnese.
Hi, this is Tony Agnese, and welcome to this edition of The Storytellers. We've got a great, great book that we're going to be talking about over the course of the show today. The book is entitled Unrepeatable, Cultivating the Unique Calling of Every Person. It's written by Luke Burgess and our guest today, Dr. Joshua Miller. Josh Miller is the co-founder of Inscape, a leader in the field of narrative-based motivational assessment. And for the last 18 years, he's applied his expertise in a variety of applications, coaching, executive search, talent management. He helped build the Center for Leadership at Franciscan University right down in Steubenville, Ohio, where he currently serves as the personal vocations mentor and mentor trainer for faculty and staff. He got his doctorate in philosophy of the human person from Duquesne University, and his wife, Brooke, and six children reside near Steubenville, Ohio. Josh, it's wonderful. Josh, just great to have you with us.
Great to be with you. It was wonderful to meet you in person in Lancaster several months ago, and I'm delighted for the opportunity to be with you on your show.
Well, I can remember a little bit of our conversation, and I told you that the whole premise of Unrepeatable kind of resonates with me, because each person is kind of individual. We all have an individual life and an individual goal. Even our spiritual lives, there are a lot of people who say, well, you go to Mass, you say the rosary, and you do. They have it all laid out, but each of us has kind of a unique way of doing that. And in Unrepeatable, you really begin to zero in on this uniqueness of the individual and then how we can put that in action in forming our own unique calling, whether it's our job. Talk a little bit about this idea of each of us is kind of like a snowflake, and we're really individuals.
So if God in his abundant creativity would see fit, as he does, to create each snowflake distinctive, then how much more is he going to create each human person who's supposed to directly reflect him and who he wants to be in communion with? How much more would the human person be unique and distinctive? And the point in emphasizing our unrepeatability and distinctiveness is it's not to emphasize just the individual as an individual, but really to emphasize, on the contrary, the abundance of God's creativity and the special privilege that each person has to reflect God to the world in a distinctive way. And when we grapple with that, it just becomes marvelous, and we really ought to be, I believe, in a place of wonderment at each human person, because each human person is a means to reflect God into the world that has never been given ever before in the history of time, nor will ever again in that exact way. So it's a sacred calling to help cultivate that unrepeatable nature of each person so they can shine fully as God intended them to be and reflect Him in the way He intended them to be reflected.
You know, and in that, as wonderful as a thought that is, our culture tends to take us in the opposite direction, tends to want a cookie cutter as all cut from the same, you know, bolt of cloth.
Right.
I
think that's true, that we really are in a culture of conformity. And the more we interact with one another through digital means, which veil the direct human interaction, I think the more we are subject to the conformist forces of our culture. So we've got to get back to personal interaction and conversation where we can reveal ourselves to one another and get cultivated in the right way.
I'm sure you've seen those memes on Facebook and other places where there are 10 people sitting around the Thanksgiving table and they all have their eyeballs on their smartphone.
Yeah.
This isn't an easy task you're talking about here, Joshua, is it?
No, it's not an easy task. One of the things that we talk about in the book is the value of drawing out a person's achievement story. And it's valuable for a number of reasons, but one of the ways is that it does bring people to a point of enthusiastic interaction. So when I ask my coaching clients and the students that I teach to share with them an achievement story, and by that I simply mean some activity that a person has enjoyed doing and believes they've done well. This could be anything, you know, from baking pies with grandma to winning a race to reading all of Jane Austen's books in the summer, you know, anything that engages the person in activity that they enjoy doing and that thought they did well. As soon as people begin to reflect upon and then offer up that story, I love to share this on a show devoted to storytelling. When people share that, they open up, they, in one sense, lose themselves in the moments of that activity. They're less guarded. The joy of that memory comes to the surface and is experienced. It is represented in that moment. And it's a great way to get to know a person authentically. So the achievement story, I think, is a way out of some of those cultural forces and the addiction to the cell phone that so many of us are attached to.
You know, the interesting today, I had an exchange with a fellow worker who came into my office, and this is a guy who is both going blind and deaf, and is losing his eyesight quickly, and his hearing. He has cochlear implants now, which are helping his hearing and so forth. And he has been in the same profession, you know, most of his life since college and so forth. And just recently, he started working with a college basketball team, doing some mentoring and motivational things. And he's taking them through a book that he did and so forth. And he sat in my office today, Joshua, and it was and telling me this story of how he's interacting with the players on the team and so forth, not in a coaching role as in coaching basketball, but in a mentoring role. And his face lit up like I had not seen it lit up before. And so
precious moment.
Well, yeah. And as we began talking, I shared that with him. I said, "Boy, this is great. You're just telling me about something that has turned you on." And I shared with him. I think we all need to share that achievement story. And I know you talk a lot in the book about mentoring, and it just seems to me that that's a big part of getting people out of this cookie cutter mold and into, you know, what is it that makes you smile? What is it that turns you on? What is it that brings joy to your life and so forth? You go through a means of doing that, and without getting too technical, tell us a little bit about the idea of this mentoring aspect.
So the mentoring aspect is focused upon personal vocation mentoring. And the idea here is that we need, as a culture of people, as a culture of Catholics, within that this larger culture, we need to help one another become who we were made to be, become who we are. And that personal vocation mentoring, my co-author Luke and I see as a very critical means of doing that, building a culture of personal vocation with each person. So the mentoring can begin in a variety of ways, but when it's ordered around knowing the other person, knowing their unique design of motivation, we emphasize that, and then helping them recognize what a great contribution that they can make through the exercise and the strengthening of their unique gifts. Those are some of the key parts of mm-hmm. mentoring. But I would also say this, that listening with empathy to another person as they share their story is really foundational. And I would place that as the most important aspect of mentoring, something that we don't do very well as a culture, mm-hmm. but needs to be done. And when a person can share to another deep stories where they were authentically themselves, and that other person appreciates, loves, affirms, understands, that is like light and gentle rain on a sapling that just mm-hmm. needs that in order to grow. It builds a context for the person to recognize that they are valuable, that they have innate dignity, and that they have a unique contribution to make. Because mm-hmm. when we look at those stories, we're not only looking at what fulfills the person, but in most cases, the achievement stories also show a natural way that that person wants to contribute, wants to build others up, and serve the common good. Because, of course, we're ordered to be self-gift. That's part of what fulfills us as made in God's image and likeness. And so the achievement stories, they often will pull out that kind of unique contribution that the person wants to make, and mm-hmm. it's really valuable.
Now, are people not conscious of this? Does it have? I mean, you know, I know a lot of people that they want to do something, but they take a yeah. job and they blink their eyes, and 10 years have gone by.
Yeah,
and then they blink their eyes a second time, and they're getting a gold watch, and they've done something that earned them an income, so and supported their family and did all of those things, but it isn't who they are. And do we have to wait till we're 60 to find this out, or are we ignorant to it, or how do we have to have somebody kind of knock it out of us? How does that work?
I think a lot of us are cognizant of basic talents, and we're also cognizant of basic opportunities, and but what's often missing is that very few people, I believe, in my experience of over 20 years of doing this, very few people have ever been asked at a robust level to reflect carefully on their own stories of deeply engaging achievement activities. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the problem is that we think about people as functional units, and as useful for, carrying on the economy. But we don't often treat one another as having a unique pattern of motivation and the gifts associated with that need to be called out and named very carefully. And so we simply need to develop a cultural habit of entering into one another's stories at a deep level and seeing the consistent patterns of gift motivation that are there. But we just don't do that for various reasons. Mm-hmm. I think we get by on what's good enough, and we pay attention perhaps to just the economic value of a job and not necessarily how it connects with who mm-hmm. we are. There's that pressure also. And there's also the pressure of conformity around desirable jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Like the engineering jobs, the attorney jobs, those that bring in money, because, of course, there's financial pressure to make a lot of income. And that also, I think, succeeds in blinding us to ourselves.
Sure, and a lot of parents push. A lot of parents will push their kids
exactly.
when they're going to college, you know, to go into these fields that are higher income or
right.
and so forth that have that. And so it may stifle what is their uniqueness in pursuing something else. You use two words there that are, you use the word vocation and the word discernment, and we usually hear
yes.
those two words associated with young men thinking about a vocation to the priesthood. And certainly this is applicable in this situation. But when you talk about vocation and discernment, you're talking about a lot of different things there, not just a discernment to serve the Lord in the priesthood, but in so many other ways.
Thank you for that question. Thank you for that question, Tony. I think that Catholics, and this happens also in the evangelical and Protestant world as well, where there's been a big emphasis on, you know, preaching and missionary work, but in a Catholic context, we still, even 50-plus years after the Second Vatican Council, we still often connect vocation with priesthood and religious life. So if I were to tell you enthusiastically that my son, David, who's 18 years old, is discerning a vocation and thinks he might have one, then you would be expected to understand by that he's, you know, headed towards the priestly or religious life.
Mm-hmm.
And so state-in-life vocation, which includes priesthood and religious life, but also married life, that's a critical component of a person's vocation. But we're talking about the unique personal vocation. And the unique personal vocation, as you said, includes a lot of things. So it includes fundamentally our call to holiness. We're all called to holiness. And so each particular person is also called to holiness. Each person is called to a state in life. But the problems with thinking about vocation only in those terms is that it leaves out big chunks of life. And, for example, as I am a father and a husband, I can think about certain aspects of my life as connected with my state in life, providing for my family, spending time with my family, providing education. But how about Saturday mornings? How about after work? You know, family's mm-hmm. taken care of, they're provided for. Are those spaces of time somehow outside of my vocation? No, they're not, because God always calls. And discernment of personal vocation is really an ongoing process. What does God want from me today, right now? What does God want from me as a particular person? And so discernment really is a daily event. We have the opportunity for that, and it involves each aspect of one's own personal calling.
Mm-hmm. The book is Unrepeatable. My guest is Joshua Miller, PhD, who is the co-founder of Inscape and co-author of the book with Luke Burgess. We're going to take a short break and we'll return with Joshua Miller on The Storytellers.
CatholicBook.net is a proud supporter of The Storytellers. Find all the books discussed on today's program at CatholicBook.net or visit our local shop in Canton at St. Raphael Books and Gifts, 4365 Fulton Drive Northwest. CatholicBook.net, for 30 years, a commitment to service.
Welcome back to The Storytellers. This is Tony Agnese. My guest is Joshua Miller, and the book is entitled Unrepeatable, Cultivating the Unique Calling of Every Person. We're talking about discernment and personal vocation and how we go about doing that. I want to turn the tables. I want to maybe ask a question and then flip things a little bit here. Is your book intended for the individual who is discerning and or is it for those people who might be mentoring and working with people, ministers and folks in churches and schools and so forth? Is it for both?
So the short answer would be to both. We intended the primary audience to be mentors in the large sense of that word. Mm-hmm. So parents, youth ministers, teachers, coaches, pastors. But what we found is that those who were reading it early on were also noting that it was very useful for them individually. And I think that that makes sense, because when we're trying to pay attention to another person and to cultivate their vocation, we must necessarily take stock of our own personal vocation as well. So we've got to practice what we preach, in other words. And so I do think that it does help individuals, and not only those who are mentoring, but just individuals in general, to take seriously these questions of personal vocation, what it means for them individually.
Now, in the book, and the book is there's a lot of technical information, a lot of research, a lot of really quality stuff in there. But it's written in a way that I think it's approachable to everyone. But there are some techniques that you have developed over time that might help someone who says, "Well, you know, Joshua, that sounds great, but I'm not qualified to mentor."
I think in my experience is this, that any person who has a real interest in cultivating the growth of another person can effectively mentor. That basic love and interest is you know, so much of what is required. And when people simply feel that, who need to be mentored, that they are affirmed, that they are loved, that they are appreciated for themselves and not for what they're doing for the other person, that just setting that kind of a context is highly valuable. So we do talk about some techniques, for example, for empathic listening that can help a person along. We do talk about steps of discernment and how to help cultivate in another person steps for effective discernment. But I think that fundamental requirement of having an interest in the growth of another person is really where it's at. Beyond all the technical skills and certifications, that's most important.
And what role does encouragement play in terms of not only discerning it, but acting upon it once you do? Just to be encouraged, have one person out there who's kind of giving you a shove.
I think that it's fundamental. And I do think that it begins with getting to know the other person. We can encourage people according to our own agenda. And when we do that to another person, it always falls flat. Or they might try something out that the other person encourages them to do and find that it really doesn't meet who they are. When the encouragement is based upon an attentiveness to that person, from understanding them and wanting them to do things and try things out which are authentic to who they are, then I think it's quite valuable and absolutely necessary. But I think it is grounded in an understanding of the person. And the achievement stories can help open up that understanding of the other person so that the encouragement can be quite valuable. It's like this. If I see a nut on the ground and don't quite know what it is, but I give it some sunlight and some water and it begins to open up and I start to see just what kind of a being the sapling is, then I can encourage it in a way that's consistent with its nature, its unique nature.
You know, it's interesting, as I speak, and I do a lot of speaking engagements and talk about my books, which are basically books of short stories, and I share my stories with the audience, the people that are listening, and, you know, a lot of them are failure. I mean, a lot of my stories are failures, and a lot of them
mine
are success.
Too.
And but what I find is when I open up things for questions and answers afterwards, and even after that, after we're done and we're packing up and leaving, people will come up and for some reason they'll open up and begin to share these achievement type stories. And the only thing I can say is maybe because I have shared my stories in a authentic way that they feel like they can share it back and that at least I would be attentive to it, and I am. In many instances their stories are far more interesting than my own. Do you find that there are some people either through training or just because of their personality who are magnets for those people who are doing this discernment?
I absolutely do. And I do think it's important that for those that really want to enter into a strong mentoring relationship and to spend a lot of time doing it, I think it's important for them also to take stock of who they are. And it is the case that not everyone is called to be a kind of midwife of the stories of another person or a kind of magnet, as you've described. I think it's oftentimes a special gift. I think, you know, the fundamental stance of listening to another person is valuable in and of itself, but there's some people who are called to be car mechanics and to work with data and to engage in service of humanity in a way that doesn't have a whole lot of intimate daily human interaction. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. God built some people that way. But when we identify in ourselves and others a real capacity and interest and gift at drawing the others out, I think you absolutely have that. But that's a wonderful treasure and a responsibility, and that we've got to be attentive to that in ourselves and in others, to name it.
The book, Unrepeatable, Cultivating the Unique Calling of Every Person. Luke Burgess and my guest, Dr. Joshua Miller, are the authors. When you write a book like this, obviously in your mind you have some destination for it. Where do you see this book's being used, and who's buying it, and what's the follow up to this? How do we? I know you have a program too that accompanies this. Talk a little bit about that, about the program and how we can move forward.
After the book was written, my co-author Luke Burgess wrote an article, I think it was for Bishop Barron's Word on Fire, and he said in that article that we would love to see a vocation director in every parish, home, school, and community. And that went viral to some extent because it helped people recognize that we ought to be about the work of cultivating vocations, and not just vocations to the priest and religious life, but wherever there are people that are searching for living a life of unique meaning, they want to understand that more, they want to understand what God is calling them to do, there really ought to be mentors, loving mentors, who attend to that and help direct it. Mm-hmm. So we see our book in parish youth groups, in schools, in homes where there are parents that are that want to be about helping their children understand their unique selves and how they can contribute to building God's kingdom. So it's really for those that are interested in the formation of others, particularly youth and young adults. So wherever those folks are at, we would love for that book to be as an aid among other aids, mm-hmm. in helping them to do their work. But we also think that there needs to be a paradigm shift around the whole language of vocation. John Paul II spoke about each unique person as the way of the church, and he also spoke about renewal, authentic renewal, depending upon the cultivation of personal vocation. So I'd also like to see our pastors take it seriously, not just from the standpoint of mentoring, but teaching.
Mm-hmm.
That we need to teach personal vocation. Very significant need in the church.
Well, this has been a terrific interview, Joshua. I've really enjoyed it. I enjoyed reading the book. I read it a few months ago when I met you. Actually, I had downloaded the Kindle version and read it before you gave me the copy.
Oh, but I'm glad you got both copies.
I have one of each. Yeah, and I just really, really enjoyed the book. And I think that this mission is so necessary within the calling of each individual person to discern what is their unique calling, and if this book helps get them there, then that's fantastic. This has been a joy having you on with us, Joshua.
Thank you. Real joy to talk to you.
Thank you so much. My guest, Joshua Miller, PhD, co-author of the book Unrepeatable, Cultivating the Unique Calling of Every Person. We're sponsored in part here by CatholicBook.net, and the book is available where all good Catholic books are sold, and it's available on CatholicBook.net. Joshua, God bless you. Thank you for being with
us. Thank you, Tony.
This is Tony Agnese. We'll see you again next time on The Storytellers.
We hope you've enjoyed today's edition of The Storytellers with Tony Agnese, a production of the Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio. To learn more about today's storyteller, go to thestorytellersradio.com. There you can subscribe to the podcast and hear all of our past shows. And join us again next week at this same time for The Storytellers with Tony Agnese.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.